The reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, and can be found on page 1066 in the Church Bibles. John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That wasn't Tony's fault. That was, I think it might have been my fault. This is the right reading we're now going to read. Sorry, Tony. I think the right one may have come up. It's one. So the reading is from the Epistle 1 John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This also is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Dave. Just a prayer as we start. Dear Lord, as we start looking at your word this morning, will you please speak to our hearts? And Lord, where we need to change our attitudes, will you bring about a change in attitudes through your Holy Spirit? And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And the first attitude I have to repent of is it's so lovely when somebody else makes a boob and it's not me. The subject that I was given this morning is the last one, as has already been said, in the short series we've been sharing about Christian basics. Just to remind you, it all started when Mark talked about reading the Bible, Tony talked about prayer, Dave talked about unity, that's the relationship between Christians. And then last week, Daniel spoke on the subject of serving. And the one thing that you'll notice is that all of these basics apply to each one of us as individuals, but also to all of us as we work together to a church. Not only must you and I live out the basics, the core values of the Christian life, we're called to live them out in giving. But I'm not going to talk about giving. Well, not much anyway. What I'm going to talk about is something which I hope will really raise our spirits and our souls and our vision, rather than necessarily trying to raise immediate funds. Actually, I need to put in the health warning. I'm sure the wardens will be delighted if you wish to respond with funds as well. But what I want to talk about this morning, and which comes from our passage, is generosity. Generosity, the attitude of mind which is so vital for us if we want to make Jesus known. Let me just start with the definition that I'm going to be working through, which is that generosity is the quality of being kind and understanding and the willingness to give to others. And as I've thought about it, I've been thinking that actually the difference between giving and generosity is quite simple. See, giving tends to start with me rather than being outward focused. I know it's provocative to say so, but giving is very much an introvert word, whilst generosity is an extrovert attitude. Far from being the outreach of love, it should be, giving's too often legalistic. And it starts by looking at me and my personal circumstances. What can I afford? And don't forget, I've got the gas bill coming up and got to save for my holiday. That's where giving too often starts, doesn't it? Rather than starting with thinking about the problems of others, it's too often about poor me and not poor them. And that attitude can mean that all too often acts of charity involve being judgmental, giving to others what I or we arrogantly assume that they need, rather than what the other person judges is what they need. And the reverse of that is true. For instance, how often do we use the excuse that we won't give money to a person who's begging on the streets because they'll probably only drink it? And I love C.S. Lewis's response to that, which is, but on the other hand, if I keep it, I'll drink it. And so too often giving is more about us than it is about them. And because of that, when we do giving, too often we give ourselves a pat on the back. I'm a good boy, I am. I just gave something to someone. But hang on. Hang about. Jesus had something to say about that. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. So generosity, on the other hand, starts by thinking of others first and me second. Well, actually, real generosity starts with thinking about others first and me, well, hardly at all. Because the motives of generous people are love and compassion and empathy. Generous people stop to consider what they value in life and how they can share it with a friend. Generous people are kind and understanding and willing to give to others in need in order that their lives may be enriched. Generosity wants us to share joy. It wants to share the advantages we have in life. And generosity wants us to share in other people's sufferings too. Why am I talking about generosity? Well, you see, giving is too often measured with a pound sign followed by a number. Generosity, on the other hand, is measured by volume. Generosity is measured by the volume of love and compassion and empathy that's motivated a gift. And as John put it in his letter, 1 John 3, verse 16 onwards, and it's on page 1227 if you're following in the Bibles. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let's not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I love the way that those verses are rendered in another translation. In that translation, they're rendered, this is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And it's you who made it disappear. There is an irony in what I was going to say next, which is we don't often read from John's letters And perhaps we should do so more because they offer some deep, deep challenges. And the guy who wrote this letter is, I was going to say, the same man that wrote the gospel. He was the guy that described himself as being Jesus' beloved disciple. And I was going to say, when we look at this letter, chapter 3, verse 16, I'm sure that there will be others who might get mixed up and think that they've heard this verse before, and we all know it because we've learnt it from Sunday school upwards, I was going to say. Well, of course it's not, because that's John's gospel, chapter 3, verse 13. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I think it's one of those wonderful God incidences that here in his letter he amplifies that very same thought. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is how we know what love is. We know what love is because Jesus' example was to show us that actions speak louder than words. Just imagine for a wild moment, just sort of try and clear your mind of all we know from the Bible, which did happen. But just imagine for a moment that Jesus had come to earth 2,000 years ago and had spent 3 years going around with a soapbox. And wherever he went, standing on that soapbox and telling everyone, I am the Son of God. I have come to heal the relationship between sinners and you, between sinners and God my Father. Believe in me and you will have eternal life. You've heard me speak. And with that, he was back to heaven again. I wonder how long his message would have lasted and how far it might have spread had he just used words. But of course, it wasn't like that. As we know, Jesus' message was, well, it was about Easter. It was about the fact that Jesus actually died. He died by crucifixion. It wasn't about words because Jesus was put in a grave. And it wasn't just about words because Jesus was brought back to life again by God so that others, including ourselves, can believe that if we follow him, we too can have eternal life. Now the message was clear. What God did for Jesus in the grave, he wants to do for us too. God's actions through Jesus have spoken loudly and clearly and have reverberated round the world to millions upon millions upon millions of people over 2,000 years. What Jesus demonstrated to us was that actions speak louder than words. And if that's the first thing that God teaches us through these verses, then the second thing is that the essence of love is self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice was perfectly demonstrated by Jesus, and says John, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Jesus' self-sacrifice, his revelation of how much he loves us and how humble he is, wasn't just something for us to admire. It's an example for us to follow. We must be willing, we must be generous enough to put our own lives to one side to serve others, or else our claims to love them become no more than empty boasts. True love is expressed when we're willing to surrender those things that have value in our own lives. Perhaps it's time, perhaps it's money, or perhaps it's going to be by taking an action which might even endanger our own lives, such as, I don't know, donating a kidney to a relative in need in order that they might have a better quality of life. Or perhaps it's those more everyday, ordinary, simple, seemingly small but so important things, like doing the shopping for a neighbour who's sick. Whatever we're doing, Christian love is only shown when we share what we have and what we are with other people. Actually, let me just stop there for a moment, because we're great ones, Christians, about talking in generalities. And we talk about the things which we should do for others. Let's be generous to others. And we talk about loving others as ourselves. But actually, that's too vague to be of any challenge, isn't it? I love mankind. Yeah, sure you do. But the thing is, do you love the person who's standing in front of you? Let me quote C.S. Lewis again. He said, loving others is dead easy. In fact, loving everyone in general can be a great excuse for loving no one in particular. That's why John says there in verse 18, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Do you get that? It's not if anyone has material possessions and sees people in need and has no pity on them. No. John says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? The Bible tells us quite explicitly that our faith requires us to love the person right there in front of us, not simply humanity in general. And that leads to all the questions about who is my neighbour. It's not just the person in front of me that I like. It's the person in front of me who's in need, whether I like them or not. Isn't that the message, the reason why Jesus told that parable about the Good Samaritan, which we studied together with Daniel from Sion last Sunday? Our duty is to get to know our brothers or sisters right beside us well enough to understand their individual needs and to share with them by helping and standing with them in their need. Generous people think about others and not themselves, and they use Jesus as the role model. He was generous to the point of selfishness, selflessness. And that's what we must aim for too. I started by saying this wasn't going to be a fundraising sermon, and we're talking about generosity in all its forms, not just the sharing of hard cash. And the very first specific that I want to raise is that we are instructed in Scripture to be generous. Generous towards others by forgiving others, just as God forgives us. Forgiving is an attitude of mind that comes and flows from generosity. I mean, remember the plot. God wanted to restore a good relationship with us after our relationship had all been spoiled by sin coming between us. And God could have devised an answer that depended entirely upon actions from us. But instead, in God's generosity, he actually, in his loving nature, took the responsibility back onto his shoulders. God was and is so generous, he gave his only son and encouraged him to be generous towards us by laying down his life for us. And we're commanded to be generous. And we're commanded to make the sacrifice to forgive others, because it can be a sacrifice. But we're to lay down whatever it is we hold against someone, and we are to forgive them. We're commanded to be generous-hearted and to take the initiative and forgive others and restore right relationships. That comes from giving and generosity. And perhaps our next act of generosity comes through the way we look at others. We're all members of the church, but we're members of society. And has society ever been so full of judgment as it is at the moment? The norm is to assume the worst of others, right up to the point they prove otherwise. And actually, the church has a reputation for being like that. The church has had, down the centuries, a reputation for being totally po-faced and critical and intolerant and unwelcoming to anyone who's got the slightest bit different from us. Just think how things would change if the first contact with Christianity was always a demonstration of generous hospitality, was always a generous attitude that assumes the best in the other person, was always one of generosity which welcomes them without judgment, was one which was generous enough to look beyond their outward appearance and instead show God's love and grace. And if that happened not just inside the building we call church, but out there in the world, in our everyday interrelation, making Jesus known will only happen as we're generous with our non-judgmental welcome. Be forgiving, be non-judgmental, and thirdly, be generous in our actions. What Jesus taught us through that parable of the Good Samaritan is that actions come first. You remember the Samaritan found the injured man, went to him, bandaged his wounds, and gave him what he could by means of medicine. Then he put him on his donkey, took him off to an inn, and took care of him. He did all of those actions, and only then did he part with money. Now, I'm aware of so many generous actions which are done by so many people in St. Pat's, and I recognise that what I'm aware of will only be the tip of an iceberg. And I really thank God for all those who do so much so often and whose actions speak volumes about our attitude, the attitude of our hearts. But I know that we can always do more. And that brings us then to the final and most obvious way we can show generosity as both individuals and as a church, by using material gifts and resources that God has loaned to us as stewards. It's been said that the biblical notion of property is that it's something which is lent to the user. Money and possessions are never absolutely given to us, but they're loaned to us by God, not so much to hold, but to use as a resource for blessing and to make a difference in the world and to the lives of everyone. Now that changes our attitude towards handing out a fiver, doesn't it? We can express our generosity by sharing that which God has loaned to us. Well, we had a lot of teaching about that just about this time last year, and we published a little booklet, a devotional guide to giving. And there's a number of those at the back of church now, so if you missed it last time round and want another copy, then do take one. Have a generous mindset. Be forgiving. Be non-judgmental. Show Jesus through our actions. And show Jesus as we share what we have. As John wrote, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let's not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.